Hello, welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast. This is Paul Solendrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We have softball assistant coach Elizabeth Kahneman to talk about softball with us. Let's update you. It seems like it's been a long time since you saw the Shockers play. It has been a long time. They didn't even get in a home game last year. There were a lot of painful ends to the season last year for Shockers softball. That was it. They were 11-16 last season before the pandemic ended things on March 11th. That team hit the ball really well for 27 games. Their .326 batting average was tops in the American Athletic Conference. They had 30 home runs. That would have been second in the conference. And their 50 doubles led the American. So now we've got an interesting fall. Almost everybody's back. We've got 8 freshmen. Elizabeth, let's start. Just what's practice like?
It's busy, Paul. Thanks for having me. It's, it's been great to get back, and I think everybody still has the mindset, and I hope they hang on to it for a long time, that we're really lucky to have the opportunity to have practice and to be around each other and to enjoy each other's company. So there's a little more motivation than maybe there had been in the past. Unfortunately, you get to, parts of your season like that where people start taking it for granted and maybe going through the motions a little bit, but the pandemic has kind of been an eye-opening situation for us and for our kids to really go, oh, I was very privileged to have that opportunity. So thankfully, because we have a lot of work to get done during practice with 25 athletes on the roster, 22 of them swing the bat for us. So we're very busy trying to get in all of our drill work and our, defense, offense, pitching, catching, everything. So it's busy, but, those of you that have watched us play and have seen Coach Brebner in action, we like busy and we like keeping people on the move, and it's upbeat, has good tempo to it. So we're making the most of it.
25 on the roster. What's a normal roster?
20 is good for us. And, I think 22 is now the number in the American you can travel pre-pandemic. I think they've bumped that down to 20 now. So, anywhere from 18 to 20 players is usually our goal. So we're just a little heavy on that, but we have good kids. So it's not, aside from being busy and having to figure out the travel piece of it later in the spring, it's not necessarily a bad thing.
What adjustments are being made for the pandemic and for the, you're not scrimmaging outside competition, so how do you compensate for some of those differences?
Yeah, well, first of all, we have a new athletic trainer this year, Katie, and she's been thrown into a really interesting situation, but she's handling it really well as far as organizing the testing every week, and then Coach B has split up and organized our team into groups that, instead of all jamming ourselves into one dugout every day, we spread out. We use 2 dugouts. We use the bullpen. We use the batting cages, kind of areas to keep our stuff and keep distanced as much as possible. But, unfortunately, we won't be able to play any outside competition. And instead of doing that, we're implementing some inner squads, and we're setting some up to simulate conference series, because we didn't get to play any conference games last year. So our returning freshmen, our sophomores now, are returning and haven't ever experienced a conference series. So weather permitting here in the near future, we're going to start playing Friday, Saturday, Sunday inter squads and setting them up just like an American series, where we'll play 6 o'clock Friday night, 3 o'clock Saturday afternoon, and then a noon game on Sunday, just so they can kind of get the hang of how a series would go and get the pitching rotation kind of ironed out, and who would be maybe our game 1 and game 3 starters, and who can go a good length and who's in relief and so on and so forth. So we're really excited about that, just to see how things kind of shake out and break up sometimes the monotony of regular practice.
So Wichita State has its 3 seniors back, Madison Perrigan, Bailey Lang, and Riley Buck, and then almost everybody who contributed last year is back. Has that been pretty typical around college softball, or was there a lot of transition or turnover maybe?
I think it's been pretty typical, and really Coach B would be a better person to answer that question. But from what we've heard, every school handled it a little differently. But as far as I can tell, most people welcomed back their seniors. And I think we'll extend the year of eligibility to those that, that need it. It will, or that want to take us up on it. It'll be interesting for some athletes here and other places that maybe are graduating and need to get into their graduate school and see if that fits in at their current institution or if they have to look elsewhere. So I'm interested to see how it, how, what turns it takes after this year. I think, you know, especially if we have any delays or postponements or cancellations of our spring season. But it sounds like a lot of people have welcomed back their seniors and will have maybe a bigger roster than they're used to.
So Wichita State played 27 games last spring, no conference play, no home games. How do you evaluate what happened in 2020? How much of a data point is that for you?
Well, for me, from an offensive standpoint, I thought we did hit the ball really well, especially early. I mean, we got off to a really hot start for our starting 9 or 10 or whatever we used early. And I think at one point in the first couple weekends, we're hitting as a team into the 360s. And, you know, as a hitting coach, you're thinking, well, why can't we hit 400 and let's keep this thing going? And then reality sets in. You start facing better pitching and... And I think you said we were hitting 326 when it ended, and I was really happy with the progress some of our hitters were making, and keeping it simple and really enjoying the offensive side of the ball. So I don't know how much evaluation, you know, we keep charts and, you know, all the statistics and stuff, but I think more of what I'm trying to hold on to or get them to feel again are what worked, what was comfortable for your swing, and how did you feel when you were hitting your best during that first, you know, third of the season. But a lot of the stuff that we're holding on to is experiences. We had some young kids get some playing time last year that they can now build on and understand it. They have a little bit better understanding of the experience of what the season's going to be like. So maybe not necessarily statistically based, but more feelings and approach and preparation stuff is what we're going to use the most.
What do you like best about what you've seen so far in these fall practices?
Oh, gosh, we've got 25 ball players, and we've got a lot of good ball players in that mix, from a defensive and offensive side. But I think offensively, I look around and I think, well, she's got to hit, and she's got to be in the lineup, and she's got to be in the lineup, and there's more of those right now than there are positions, which is a really good feeling. Because, as you know, in softball and baseball, it's a roller coaster, and it, you know, the season has its ups and downs, and just try to make sure we try to maintain some type of consistent level of hitting. But it's been exciting to see how many options we could potentially have offensively, from the left and right hand side. So lots of power hitters. We have maybe a little bit more speed. We've never been really built for speed, more for power. But it's been fun, especially watching the new kids come in and jump right in and swing it a little bit. So I'm having a blast watching them hit. So we'll see. We're going to have some tough decisions to make, but that's a good problem for our coaching staff to have.
I wanted to ask about Wiley Glover, who had an interesting 27 games. She hit 369. She hit two home runs in her previous two seasons. She had a .255 batting average and one home run. Tell us about her progress, her improvements.
Yeah, Wiley was fun to work with last fall and last spring. She made a couple adjustments to her swing, really nothing major, just got to be more comfortable with herself and kind of embraced who she was as a hitter. And I think mentally was confident and more comfortable with her approach. And so she didn't look altogether that much different to me as far as mechanics go, but you could tell that she felt it. She was confident enough and got in there and kind of just took her hacks and swung at good pitches. You know, that's half the battle most of the time, is making sure you're swinging in the zone and you're giving yourself a chance to hit a pitch that's hittable. So she was fun, and, you know, kind of had a short-term memory, and if things didn't go her way, she shook it off and she got in there for the next pitch, and it made a world of a difference. I mean, she was a totally different hitter last year. So I hope she picks up right where she left off.
Neely Herring, another one who had a really nice spring. She hit 378. She had five home runs. And then she had, I think, a different summer than a lot of the players. She played summer softball down in Florida. How's that helped her?
Yeah, she's never going to come back in bad shape. She's always going to work. She loves hitting. I think she loves the the rolling our sleeves up and getting into the nitty-gritty of it and really doing some analysis on our own swing. But yeah, she benefited from seeing live pitching all summer, which is a lot more than a lot of players are able to do. So we look for her obviously to be a big part of the offense as always, and really has become a feared hitter in the American over the course of her career. And it's good power from the left side. She's, you know, swings at good pitches, and obviously her frame allows for her to have quite a bit of power. So we'll look for her to be right in the thick of things.
You've got three seniors who are back for, I guess, an unexpected another run through it. Does their leadership role, does their example, does it change any because of the circumstances?
I think they, you know, the three of them are, they've got plenty of experience now, so there's no shortage there. I don't know that it changes a ton. I think the athletes that they have to lead have changed. Obviously, if you count all the freshmen, the new and the old, there's 13 of them. So we're heavy on the underclassmen. So I think those three, being able to pull from their experiences, will be able to lead and have learned from two seasons, unfortunately, that have just ended abruptly. I mean, the year before, we got rained out right as we were hitting our stride, I think, in the conference tournament in Houston. And then to have the pandemic just put a stop to things last year, I think, I don't know that they feel shortchanged or if they feel slighted at all, but they should be able to draw on those two seasons and say, you know, we need to get after it earlier and really take advantage of all the practices and competitions that come our way, because as we unfortunately know, sometimes they just stop coming. So I think they've got that, and then obviously some maturity to pull from. They're super seniors, so, and Bailey Lang's even more so. They've got a lot of experiences to share with the younger kids, and hopefully they'll fall on open ears.
You mentioned the underclassmen. You've got several sophomores who are still kind of freshmen, at least eligibility-wise. Bailey Urban started 26 games last season. Lauren Johnson played a lot. So it's a unique situation for them. How's that group different this season in their approach after going through it for a year?
It's been great to see from our perspective that almost immediately they looked like different athletes. And obviously they've got a year of experience under their belt, but the freshmen usually come in a little quiet, a little timid, not really knowing what to expect, and kind of just falling in line and doing what they think they're supposed to do and not really ruffling any feathers and flying under the radar. But from the beginning of this fall, you can see they don't have as much experience as a Bailey Lang or a Riley or a Butters, but they know now what it takes to crack the starting lineup or what it takes to start a season and be on the road for 3, 4, or 5 weeks in a row. And they're not dawdling with their work. They're coming in already wanting to get extra swings in, and they know when to step up and that it's okay to say things and use their voice. And it's been fun to watch them really come in and have the confidence that you try to get them to have as freshmen, but they're just, I don't want to say scared, but they're shy and they're just taking it all in. They're more observant as freshmen before they feel like it's their place to do anything. And now this group has come in for freshman round two, and they know what they're doing. They know what to expect. They have a lot more confidence. So I think they are able to lead the new ones a little bit too. And you know, sometimes that they're closer in age, the freshmen and the sophomores. And so maybe it's easier to follow them because there's not that many differences between those two classes. So hopefully they can lead the little ones in the right direction. But it's been fun to see them come back and have a totally different approach.
Madison Perrigan is back at catcher. She's started, I guess, just for the minute she stepped onto this campus. I guess 5 years ago now. She's got 37 career home runs and needs four to break the Wichita State record. What's made Madison into such a great hitter?
You know, she's fun to work with, and she's told me before, you know, you're more than a hitting coach. You're like a therapist, a hitting therapist. And I said, well, Butters, there's a million ways to do something, so we just have to figure out which one works for you. And she's been a good hitter since she got here. I mean, she's fun to work with. She takes herself seriously, but also knows when to relax and calm down. And but she's got a great foundation under her. She's had a lot of good coaching over the years and has a really good understanding of what she needs to do at the plate. She knows her swing. She knows when she needs to change things a little bit, maybe sometimes too much. She likes to change bats and stances and batting gloves and all the superstitious things that softball players do. But she's so much fun to work with because she could hit it out of the park at any minute. Even if she's been struggling or if she's been hot, it takes her one swing to make a difference in a game. And we've seen her do it time and time again and in big, big spots, whether it be against Arkansas at home 3 years ago or if it's Oklahoma State in the regional. I mean, there's no situation that's too big for her, and she can rise to the occasion. But she's got a good head on her. She's got a good strike zone awareness. She has a pretty swing, and she's got plenty of power. So she's a fun one to work with. I like to just sit back, get out of her way, and let her rip it.
You've got the eight freshmen, as you mentioned. Was there anything in particular you were looking for in this recruiting class?
Thinking back to, it feels like we've had these kids committed for years. You know, by the time they get here, you think, wow, we've been talking to you guys for a couple years. And obviously they've changed the recruiting contact rules and all that since then. But, you know, this class is stacked. We've got a little bit of speed, a whole lot of athleticism. I know personally for me, I'm always looking for power at the plate. So I tend to gravitate toward the recruits that hit big. But there's plenty of that in our eight. You know, Cameron Compton comes from Riverton, Kansas. She's got a good bat. Jess Garcia catches, plays a little outfield. She's got a powerful bat. Addie Barnard comes from Beatrice, Nebraska. She's an all-around athlete, has good speed, great power, and she's not a huge kid. She's, you know, packing a punch in a smaller frame, but she's fun to watch hit. Tatum Long she's from Oklahoma, but has spent a lot of time playing club ball up here in Wichita. She hits for power. Jordan Pipkin, we picked up. She pitches, and she's going to hit a little bit, but she's powerful. I mean, I guess the Lauren Lucas has gap-to-gap power. She has a little bit of speed, which is nice. We needed to mix in some of that. Gracie Sullivan's from Galena, Kansas. She hits from the right side, has some power, and also catches. I'm sure I'm forgetting. There's so many of them. I think Paige Roach is maybe our eighth one. And Paige is a little limited now. She has shoulder surgery, but she hits from the left side. And has some power in her, too. So I think up and down all eight, they've all got good bats, which is exciting. You know, there's a lot of power potential in that class, and some will get there before others, obviously, with injuries and what defensive positions they'll play. But, man, they're fun to watch.
Take us through the rest of the fall schedule. How's it kind of play out?
Well, it's September 9th-ish. We probably have one more month of team practice in our non-championship segment. So we'll scrimmage this weekend, weather permitting. We'll do Friday, Saturday, Sunday will be our first series. And if the weather changes out a little bit, we might just do a Saturday, Sunday. But then we'll get after it during the week. We'll get in the weight room with Hannah and do some of our work there. And then team practice, we might do a little individual work here and there to start working on some fundamentals and get prepped for the fall and when Thanksgiving rolls around and they go home for an extended vacation. We'll get to break down some swings and stuff like that. But for the next month, we're going to hit team practice pretty hard and really work on having the girls compete against each other in the scrimmages, obviously, but also for positions and making each other push a little bit more. And when those things happen within a team, people tend to start up in their game a little bit, and they perform at a higher level, and then you start pulling things out of them that they didn't know they could do, and that's exciting because they all of a sudden are now playing, you know, at a college pace, and things are a little bit faster, and they're having fun with each other. So it's fun to watch, and we just kind of have to give them the path and give them something to kind of guide them, and then they do all the work and see how good they can get in the next month. And then we'll scale it back and go to individuals before Thanksgiving, get some breakdowns defensively, offensively, hopefully still outside if we can sneak in some good weather. But and then Morgan, of course, is working with the pitchers in the bullpen, and she's got her plan, and there's five of them in there, and I know they're working hard. They don't get many days off in that bullpen.
And then the spring, I guess it's Everything's at least a little bit up in the air, but how are you thinking about the scheduling for the spring?
Yeah, so school here at Wichita State doesn't start till February 2nd, which is a little bit later because they've cut out spring break to avoid all the traveling and hopefully limit the coronavirus infections. But we hope to bring the girls back a couple weeks early because we'll play the third weekend of February, I think it is. So originally we would play that second weekend of February and would travel. We've had to cut a couple of our trips out early. We won't be going to Georgia Tech, I think, was originally on the schedule. We won't be doing that. So we're starting, I think, at UT Arlington, maybe that third week of February. So that's really the only adjustment we've had to make to this point, is to take out a couple of those preseason tournaments. So we'll jump right in. I know we're doing most of our traveling by bus. We'll have to fly to one of the conference series later in the spring. But we'll get a lot of bus time, which is good for team bonding with a big old group. So we'll get to do plenty of that and then still play good competition because we're – thankfully and sometimes unfortunately, we're surrounded by plenty of good Division I talent. So we'll face our fair share of tough opponents, and I can't wait to see what the kids can do.
Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, courtesy of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We appreciate your time. We encourage you to rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, such as on iTunes or Google Play. You can find more Roundhouse content at GoShockers.com. Thank you for listening.
And they let him pass it up court, and then it gets picked off. A long three by Pangos, no good. 1 second, it's over. It is over, and Wichita State has beaten the number one team in the nation to go to the Sweet 16. Go crazy, Wichita. I know you are.